for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run, or is it? Oh, well fielded. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great effort. That's unbelievable. That is sensational.
Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
Hey, welcome to Short, Fine Legs, South Africa's premium cricket podcast, which is now proudly brought to you by Orcor, Africa's favourite auctioneers. Orcor are the biggest hitters in online and live auctions, featuring the best brands in luxury and budget vehicles and trucks, as well as furniture, appliances and gadgets for your home and office. The Orcor team are also the biggest cricket fans out there, so naturally we're quite big fans of them too. Visit their website, www.orcor.com, or follow them on social media so you're kept up to date with their latest auctions. Hey, welcome to Short Fine Legs, the cricket podcast that has contributed as many test runs as Tim Payne over the last 6 months. But we need a Zeppelin-sized balloon to contribute as much hot air. My name is Daniel Gallen, and I'm riding solo today, but that's okay, because I'm going to use a tried and tested method of asking a question and then answering it myself. Can South Africa win the T20 World Cup? Yes, they've answered it, and of course they can win it. Will they win it? Well, no, probably not. But how can they win it? We'll get into that. Is the sequence getting old? Yes. Yes, it is. So Themba Bavuma leads the squad, which comprises Keshav Maharaj, Anrik Nokia, Quinton de Kock, Aidan Markram, Dwayne Pretorius, Bjorn Fortein, David Miller, Kagiso Rabada, Reeza Hendricks, Vion Mulder, Tobias Shamsi, Heinrich Klaassen, Lungi Ngidi, and Rassie van der Dissen. George Linder, Andile Pechlakwayo, and Lizard Williams are the travelling reserves. Now off the bat, the absence of Faf du Plessis, Chris Morris, and Imran Tahir, I suppose not to mention AB de Villiers, who of course is still playing cricket, shows that South African cricket is indeed in a new era. And whether or not you agree with the selections, and whether or not you can stomach the way some legends of the game have been treated by their high-ups at the board, it is encouraging at least that the team has decided to take a new direction. I mean, clearly things hadn't been working, and the record in T20 tournaments, like I suppose any tournament, is well documented. So I welcome change, even if it means that on paper, this isn't the strongest team available of all the players knocking about. The most glaring weakness lies in their power hitting. Quinton at the top is destructive, but recent scores of 19, 27, 24, 55 and 17 in the IPL shows that he isn't the most consistent player going around. He has a strike rate of 143 in international cricket over the last 4 years, and that is staggering. But it's worse than Colin Munro, Evan Lewis, Jason Roy, Rohit Sharma, Aaron Finch, Joss Butler, Martin Guptill, and Hasratullah Zazai. So that means that South Africa's most destructive opener is less destructive than openers from six other nations. Is that a cause for alarm? Well, not necessarily, but it does suggest that as great as Quinton is, he's not the one-man wrecking ball the team can pin its hopes on, and he's certainly not the most destructive player in the world that South African fans and some journalists like to think. He's a good player, possibly even a great player, but he's not an outlier. And that is cause for concern when you consider that so much of South Africa's success depends on Quinton de Kock. That also means that Miller has to play. And I know he's a shoo-in, but he doesn't only have to play, but he has to have a phenomenal tournament. He is the only one in that middle order capable of clearing the boundary on a consistent basis, which again is a worry as he isn't so consistent. He's in relatively good nick and hit an unbeaten 75 against Ireland in Belfast last July. But is he the man you'll pin the house on? Are you going to bet the farm on him whacking six after six after six? In the last 3 years, Miller has hit 26 sixes in international cricket, placing him seventh on the list of middle order batters, coming in between four and seven. But in that time, he's faced the third most deliveries of all batters in the middle order in international cricket, and his ratio of balls to sixes is 16.2. Compare that with Liam Livingston, who's got a ratio of 6.7, Owen Morgan, 10.1, Glenn Maxwell, 11.9, Nishan for New Zealand at 7, West Indies, Andre Russell 4.6, Pollard 7.7, and Porin 12.2. Afghanistan's Nabi's got 8.8, and Pakistan's Hafiz is at 15. Again, Miller is at 16.2, which means that South Africa's most powerful, the most six-hitting batter in the lineup is a long way down in terms of balls faced per sixes, or sixes per balls, rather. But look, maybe it is Miller time. Maybe those swashbuckling moments can be turned into a swashbuckling tournament. And a left-handed boundary machine wearing the green and gold of the Proteas can carry the team once again. Except, you know, fingers crossed, he won't be involved in a suicidal and generationally scarring run-out in the semi-finals, and instead will drag his nation to a place that hasn't been before. He averages 67 when South Africa successfully chased the score, and only 15 when the team has failed to reach its target. That really suggests that he is such an important player that when he clicks, South Africa tends to click. The other major player is Tabraiz Shamsi, the format's best bowler according to the ICC's metrics. And who are we to argue with our overlords in Dubai? The man has had his critics, and I personally would have taken Imran Tahir along for the ride too. But certainly not at the expense of Tabraiz, who has proved that he is capable of leading the lineup. In the last 4 years, only Tim Southee, Ish Sodhi, and Yuzvendra Chahal have taken more than Shamsi's 48 wickets against Tier 1 opposition in international T20s. But he's averaging 19.43 in that time, better than any other bowler with 40 wickets, apart from Rashid Khan. And Shamsi is conceding 6.57 runs and over. Again, only Rashid Khan is better. Look, numbers lie. And we can look at rankings tables and wonder what is going on at ICC HQ. I mean, David Milan is still the number one ranked batter in the world, and he's not even going to make England's team. But when you look at the numbers, and we see Tabraiz Shamsi at the top, it does start to make sense. He's a left-arm wrist spinner carrying some extras around the waistline. And, you know, that's not an insult. I'm certainly not passing judgment given my current shape. It's just a statement of fact. And I think this is perhaps why he hasn't really captured the imagination of every single Proteas fan. Perhaps I'm wrong, and you might listen to this and think I'm not talking to the right people because Tabraiz Shamsi, in your opinion, is universally loved back home. But the sense I get is that caveats are all too readily placed on his performances. I don't think he's lauded for the potential modern great he could become. Some might argue even is already. Our producer, Simi Arif, will certainly tell you what a phenomenal cricketer Tabraiz Shamsi is. He's 31, he's still young for a spinner. He has an excellent googly, and doesn't look like he wants to, or at least isn't going to develop as a red ball player, but I think that's a good thing. I'd actually like to see him scrap red ball cricket entirely and continue to develop as a white ball bowler, because he is unquestionably on his way to being a great of South African cricket. He'll need support though, and thankfully he's got it in the form of Kagiso Rabada and Anrik Nokia, two quicks as good as any in the world. But what supplements that attack? I'd definitely be playing Dwayne Pretorius. The lack of a world-class all-rounder means he reduces the length of the tail if he does play, and he offers some handy overs from his loping height, and on the slower tracks in the Middle East, he can tie things up in a pinch. I think it's a no-brainer that they have to play the extra spinner, and though I would have wanted George Linder, I think Keshav Maharaj makes the side for me ahead of Bjorn Fortein. I don't necessarily believe that Keshav is a tournament winner, but he can be a match winner if he keeps things under wraps for his four overs. And between him and Shamsi, plus a couple of overs from Aidan Markram, they can ensure that at least half of the balls bowled will be delivered by spin. I'm a little worried about that middle order. I mean, Rusty van der Dussen, Heinrich Claassen, Reeza Hendricks and Themba Bavuma. They're good cricketers, obviously. But star power is missing. And this is why Quinton de Kock at the top and a big contribution from Dave Miller towards the end will be so crucial. Tactically, it's hard to really know what the team is about. I mean, as we said, they're deprived of big hitters, so they've got to work with what they have. Win the toss, bat first. I feel like that's pretty set in stone. This will allow their batters to go out there and express themselves without the mountain of a target hovering over their head and deny them the chance of a calamitous choke. And recent history shows that teams batting first in the UAE win more. And so does South Africa in recent years. It also plays to the strength of Tabraiz Shamsi, whose average is lower when bowling in the second innings. And if the team is going to play with an uncharacteristically spin-heavy approach, then all the more incentive to put the squeeze on. Now, of course, there's a chance that they bowl first, which would place them on the back foot and certainly lifts the dial in terms of pressure and chasing. And if that is the case, I'd look to bowl a substantial amount of their spin early on, just to kind of put the skids on before an innings gets going, and possibly promote Miller so he can build a head of steam. Ultimately, the success or failure of the side hinges on a few key players, and realistically, five of them need to have sensational tournaments to beat the better stacked opponents, who possess more firepower with the bat. With the ball, South Africa can go toe-to-toe with anyone, and that will give them some cause for hope, but yeah, some big names have to put up a lot of runs, and those few bowlers have to stifle the other opposition. I mean, you know, it's a tale as old as time. This is how cricket works, but I just think South Africa are just a little too reliant on some big names. But you never know. Lance Klusener almost carried the side to World Cup glory, and were it not for a choke, he probably would have done so. So it can happen. And Shamsi and Miller and Quinton de Kock could be those guys. I just don't see it happening. But in case you're wondering, this is the 11 that I'd pick. Quinton de Kock, Aidan Markram. Aidan's looking pretty good without being spectacular. Temba Bavuma at 3. Could be a temptation to open with Temba, but I like him at 3. Rusty van der Dussen, Heinrich Klaassen at 4 and 5. Possibly a weak link in the side. David Miller at 6, got to have a big tournament. Dwayne Pretorius at 7, Keshav Maharaj at 8. And then the three-star bowlers, Kagiso Rabada, Anrik Nokia, Tabraiz Shamsi. So that's our show this week, short and sharp. I'm certainly going to do my best to get more content out as we build towards the World Cup. Thanks for all the support. Do like and share and review and rate and perform all those little tasks that help us get the word out. We so appreciate all the love that you do show. And if you disagree or agree with anything that I've said, hit me up on Twitter at Daniel Gallen or at short_fine_legs. We promise we'll catch you soon. Ciao.
Shout for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run. Or is it? Oh, well fielded. That's out.